Father God, we thank you for your word this evening. We thank you for your word that you've gifted to us, that you're not a God that is silent, but you are a God that speaks. We thank you that we can read this story that happened a long time ago. And Father, help us to understand more about this story, where it fits in its time, but also what it means for us today as well. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Philistines captured the Ark of the Lord. And after they captured the Ark of the Lord, they took the Ark of the Lord to Ashdod. And in Ashdod, they took the Ark of the Lord to the temple of their God, the God of Dagon. And the Ark of the Lord was next to the statue, the God of Dagon. Now the following morning, when the people of Ashdod got up, there was Dagon lying face down before the Ark of the Lord. And the people picked Dagon up and put him back in his place. However, the following morning, the people went back to the temple, and there was Dagon again, this time lying on the threshing floor of the temple with his head and arms broken off. And this is why, to this day, no one walks on the threshing floor of this temple, not even the priest that worked there. Now the Lord's power was against the people of Ashdod. He completely devastated them, and he inflicted them with tumors and growths. And then the people of Ashdod realized what was happening. They said, "The God of Israel is against us. He is against us and our God Dagon." And they said, "The Ark of the Lord cannot stay here." And so they gathered together the rulers of Philistine. And they said, "The Ark of the Lord cannot stay here." And so it was decided that the Ark would be taken to Gath. However, when the Ark of the Lord was in Gath, there was great panic. And the Lord again demonstrated his power and inflicted the people in Gath with tumors and growths. It happened to young people and it happened to old people. And so then it was decided that the Ark would go to Ekron. Now, as the Ark was entering Ekron, the people cried out. They said, "They are bringing the Ark of the Lord here to kill us." And they gathered together the rulers of the Philistines. And they said, "Send the Ark back to its own place. Send it back to where it belongs. Send it back to Israel. Because death filled the city." And the people were in great panic because God's power was against them. Now those that did not die, again, were inflicted with growths and tumors. And there was a cry that reached the heavens. Friends, that's the story of 1 Samuel chapter 5. Let me pray now and let us then think about this story in more detail. Father God, thank you again for your word and this story that we've just heard. Father, again, help us to know what this teaches us about you and about ourselves and how we should appropriately respond to you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to imagine this scenario. You're in an airport. You're in the waiting terminal. You are about to board your flight. You see the pilot. and the pilot has on dark glasses. The pilot also has a blind guide dog and walks onto the plane. Now you would be thinking, am I about to go on an aeroplane and the pilot is blind? Well, this is exactly what happened to a group of passengers. The background story is that there was a blind man and he actually asked the pilot, can you just please look after my dog for a little bit? And the pilot thought it would be pretty funny to walk onto the plane with this guide dog. And the passengers were looking at one another and thinking, is this for real? A blind pilot? Who is in control of this aeroplane that I am about to go on? Well, the pilot did confess his little prank, and there was a bit of a sigh of relief. But at the time, if you were a passenger, you would have been rightly thinking, who is in control of this aeroplane? Now, as we look at 1 Samuel, as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 4 and the beginning of 1 Samuel chapter 5, the same question is kind of relevant. Who is in control here? Because it would appear, at least in the opening verses, that the Philistines are in control. That the God of Dagon is in control. The Israelites, God's people, have been badly defeated at war. And then the Ark of the Lord is captured and then taken to a foreign temple, a foreign god. Who is in control here? The Philistines would think, we are in control. We've had the victory. We've won the war. We have the enemy God in our temple. The Israelites would be thinking, the Philistines are in control and God is no longer in control. Who is in control here? Well, it appears initially that God is not in control of what is happening. That his glory has departed his people. Now, this is reflected at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 4. You see, after the war is over, Eli the priest dies, and so do his two wicked sons. Now, the wife of one of those sons, when she found out that her husband had died, she went into early labor, and she died as well. There's a lot of death in these passages, show of God's power and judgment here. But this is what happened. As she was giving birth, she gave birth to a boy. She named the boy Ichabod, saying the glory has departed from Israel because of the capture of the Ark of God and the deaths of her father-in-law and her husband. She said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of the Lord has been captured. So it doesn't look like God's in control. At least this is what the people at the time would have been thinking and feeling. And so we need to put ourselves in their shoes at this point. And this is a picture of the Ark of the Lord as well that was captured. Inside it were the Ten Commandments and the rod of Aaron and also some manna from the desert. And so the big idea of this passage, or the big idea I have for us this evening, is this: that our God is superior, that our God is in control. And what are we to do in response? Well, we are to submit and surrender to him. Because that's what the Philistines do at the end. They say, take the Ark of the Lord away from us. It's too much. We submit and surrender to this God. Well, likewise this evening, we need to surrender our hearts to this God. We need to submit our hearts to this powerful God. Now, we know that God is in control here. He's in control of this situation. You see, his judgment upon the people here does not mean that he has lost control. What's happening here is God's judgment here shows that he has full control and full power. It's a serious reminder that God rules and reigns and that we should take him seriously. He is a God to be feared. And his judgment here is grace. Grace that people will see his power and have a right fear of him and be saved. And this story is grace to us, that we will take this warning seriously about this God of power and surrender to him, surrender to his son Jesus, and be saved. And so this God is superior, and we are to submit and surrender to him. So let's think about this story in some more detail. So at the beginning of the story, the Ark of the Lord is captured. The Ark of the Lord is taken to a foreign god. Now again, it looks like the God is not in charge. Why is this? Well, corrupt priests have been serving the Lord. Priests that have been stealing portions of meat. Priests that have been sleeping with the temple women. It doesn't look like God's in control. We then have the Philistines winning the war, and then we have the Ark in a foreign temple. It doesn't look like God's in charge in the opening verses. We have God represented through the Ark of the Lord at the feet of this God, Dagon. But then what happens next? Well, the following morning, where is Dagon? He's lying face down, isn't he? Before the Ark of the Lord. And do you notice, does Dagon get up himself and put himself back into place? No, Dagon's a statue. He can't do anything. He's not a very powerful god because he needs people to pick him up and put him back in his place. And it just shows how weak and pathetic this God of Dagon is. I mean, what sort of God is that? One that needs to be picked up and put back in its place. We also see here that God can fight his own battles, can't he? And even though the Ark of the Lord is captured, God is not dead. God is fully alive and fully at work. It's all part of his deliberate plan. And so God doesn't need his people to fight the battles for him. But in this scenario, he shows that he can do it all himself without us, if need be. And so God defeats Dagon, breaks him to pieces. But then he goes on to completely devastate the Philistine people as well. In the following verses, God inflicts them with growths and tumors. It sounds horrible, because it is horrible. But this is God's judgment upon them. And the people are in great panic because death fills the city. and the God, the Ark of the Lord, goes from one city to another city to another city until eventually the people submit and surrender and say, you know what, we need to send the Ark of the Lord back to its own place. In the end, we see that God is supreme. In the end, we see that God does rule. In the end, we see that God is in control. Furthermore, what does this mean for us today? What does this mean for us tomorrow? What are we meant to do with this story? How are we to respond to God? And furthermore, how do we see God reigning supreme today? I mean, we look at our broken world, don't we? We look at the injustice. We look at the poverty. We struggle with sin. Where do we see this God reigning supreme today? Well, we see God reigning supreme in the person of Jesus. We see God reigning supreme in the face of Jesus. Look at what Colossians chapter 1 says about Jesus. He is the Son. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Friends, where do we see God reigning supreme today? Well, we see God reigning supreme in the person of Jesus. We see God reigning supreme in the face of Jesus. We see God reigning supreme in the Lamb that was slain. Look at what Revelation chapter 5, 12 to 13 says. It's a song that all creation is singing. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lord be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. We see God reigning supreme in the person of Jesus and in the face of Jesus, in the Lamb that was slain for us. That judgment that was poured out on the Philistines, that judgment that we deserve as well because of our sin, well, with thanks to God, that was poured out on Jesus for us. That same Jesus who rose from the grave and reigns supreme today. So friends, tomorrow morning when you wake up and you think, where is God? Does God really reign supreme? Well, again, we look to Jesus, don't we? He had supremacy over Dagon. He had supremacy over the Philistines, and he has supremacy over our world today. But that's good that God reigns and has supremacy, but we need to do something as well, don't we? We need to submit and surrender ourselves to him. We see this how Dagon surrendered to this God. Now, Dagon can't really surrender to God because he's a statue, but it's symbolism that all false gods surrender to this God. And the Philistines, they have to submit and surrender as well. And again, they do this by acknowledging God's power through the Ark of the Lord and by saying, take it away from us. Take it back to where it belongs. They surrender to this God of power. We need to submit and surrender to this God, don't we? That's what we need to do. We need to submit and surrender to Jesus. It means that we need to be completely sold out for Jesus, submitted to him in our hearts, that his supremacy can reign in our lives. You see, the scary thing is this evening is what God controls your heart and your mind at the moment. You see, for the Philistines, it was the God of Dagon. It was the God of Dagon that they went to. But for all of us, something or someone controls and rules our hearts. And if it's not Jesus, then what does truly control your mind and your heart? Because this week, something or someone will control your mind and heart. This week, you will give your mind and your heart to something or someone. Might not be the God of Dagon, but it could be some other false god. The God of money, perhaps. Or materialism, or success, or even just yourself, putting yourself in God's place. So what is going to rule your heart this week? Well, friends, cry out to God this evening. Cry out to Jesus that he will rule your heart. Because in the end, the Philistines, they cried out to the heavens in hope that God would hear them. And spiritually, we are in just as a hopeless position. We need to cry out to God and cry out to Jesus and allow him to rule our hearts. And I'm not just talking about 25% of your heart or 50% of your heart or 75.2% of your heart, but all of your heart. And I can share from personal experience that for the first 18 years of my life, I didn't follow Jesus. But now I can tell you that there is nothing better than following Jesus and surrendering all of your heart to him. So friends, be encouraged tonight that our God does reign supreme. That our God is in control. We see it in this story. We see it in the person and face of Jesus. And what's our response to be? Well, we submit and surrender to this God. We cry out to heaven. We give our heart to him. Not just some of our heart, but all of our heart. Let me pray that the Holy Spirit will help us do just that this week. Heavenly Father, we admit that just like the Philistines, that we have given our hearts to false idols that do not bring glory or honor or praise to you. Father, just like the Israelites and the Philistines, we are worthy of your judgment because of your sin. But thank you that we have been spared of your judgment because of your Son Jesus, that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that we can be reminded this evening that you are in control, that your Son has the supremacy. Father, I pray that we can truly submit and surrender ourselves to you this evening. Father, that we won't allow any more sin to rule our hearts. That we won't allow other things to rule our hearts. But we will look at this God of power, and that we will just surrender. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will help us to do that this week and ongoing. And I ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.